It's a song that my mother had written in a handwritten songbook that she sang a lot of many years ago. I remember hearing her sing this as a child, but I haven't heard it sung for a long time. It's entitled, Child of a King.
Praise God.
This morning, I will make my way to the foyer there. We have brochures and things out in the foyer that we would love to share with you what God is doing there in our ministry. But we are going to dive in here to the book of Ezekiel. I want to point out, you know, the Lord had burdened my heart with this just a couple weeks ago, actually, before I even knew where I would preach it. And the burden the Lord laid on my heart is just this thought, the glory of God. You know, we have the opportunity to do many things in life, and it's because of God. It's not because of us. And we have to remind ourselves of that. Let's jump in here to Ezekiel chapter 8. And it came to pass, and I'm going to read the whole chapter so that we get it all. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, and in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness, as an appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by the lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me into the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. And then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thy eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, the image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought to me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall, and when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creepy things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chamber is of his imagery, for they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for tumult. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. And they said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and the love that you have toward us. Help us, Lord, as we dive into this here in the book of Ezekiel. As we look into this glory. Lord, I praise you and thank you each day for my salvation. I thank you for just knowing that you are my Savior. And I pray, Father, that you would be with me this morning. Remove any distractions that will be in my mind. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the words that you'd have me to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Ezekiel, he's preaching to the Jews of captivity in Babylon. This was 6 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, just to give you some history here. Chapters 1 through 3, we see the prophet's call. Chapters 4 through 24, we see the judgment on Jerusalem. Chapters 25 through 32, we see the judgment on the surrounding nations. Chapters 33 to 48, we see God's restoration of the Jews and the kingdom. Though Ezekiel was in Babylon, he could see the events in Jerusalem through the power of the Holy Spirit, through these visions. Ezekiel not only proclaimed God's message, but he had to live it. That's a challenge we can start with this morning. We as believers, we can proclaim God's message, but we have to live it. Those around us each day should see our testimonies in the lives that we live. The glory of God. There's four views of man's sin that we just read here in chapter 8. Man's sin here in Jerusalem. The first one, an image set up at the north gate in verse 5. The second, verses 6 through 12, we see the secret heathen worship in the temple. Verses 13 and 14, the Jewish women weeping for a guy named Tumos. In verses 15 and 16, the high priest worshiping the sun. The glory came to the temple in chapter 8. Talk about the glory of God. Came to the temple in chapter 8. The glory moved to the threshold of the temple in chapter 9. At this point, the throne was empty. It would become the throne of judgment. By chapter 10, the glory moved above the threshold, hovering before judgment. And then in chapter 11, the glory moved to the Mount of Olives. The glory was removed because God cannot share his glory with another. Just to give you some history there in the book of Ezekiel, God's glory was removed because he can't share. We have an opportunity to lift up and glorify our God every day of our lives. Those of us that are here that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we know for sure, for certain, that if we were to die when we left church today, we'd be in heaven. We should be glorifying God. You know, I go through trials just as anyone else who would freely admit. You go through trials. You go through troubles. You go through times of despair. I remember when COVID hit, March 15th. I'll always remember that date. It's 2 days before my wife's birthday. That's the date we closed the doors at the camp. That's the day we shut the gate. March 15th was the day we had to make the decision to say no more ministry. I don't even think I need to share with you where my heart was at that moment. It was way down here, falling out the back of my shoe. Why, Lord? What is the purpose? I kept beating myself up. I kept just telling myself, what did we do wrong? What have we done? What sins are in my life that's causing this to happen? Just to find out, it's happening everywhere. I had to remind myself it wasn't about me. It's a bigger plan. God had a bigger plan. God still has a bigger plan. Maybe we don't understand it, but God has a bigger plan. To lift up and glorify God every day is a tremendous blessing. To know that I live the life I live, that I wear the clothes I wear, I drive the car I drive, I eat the food I eat, I love the family I have, is all because of my God.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's not about where I go. It's the opportunities and the things that God has blessed us with. I have a 14-year-old son. 2 years ago, he was at camp. He was at my camp. Because that's where he works. And that's where he goes. He was at a fireside service one night at our teen or junior camp, I guess, at that time. And he stood up and gave a testimony that God had called him to ministry. I was so excited as a father. I was thinking, he is at the best opportunity. He's not going to live his teenage years like Dad. He's going to do right, I pray and hope. And I hope God continues to lead him. And there's nothing in my power that I have done. All glory to God. We looked at the glory was removed because God cannot share his glory with another. Thank the Lord, that's not the end. Flip over to chapter 43 for me, just a moment. beginning in verse 1. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory, and it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Cherith, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect was toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of God filled the house. This is a vision. Ezekiel sees the glory of God returning to the temple. This has not occurred yet. One day God will return. One day God will come back for his people. One day God will rule and reign. Can I ask you, where do you put your glory at today? Is it in the Lord? Or is it in our own selfish things? Sometimes it's hard when we have wonderful lives that the Lord has blessed us with. It's so easy, even in the ministry, for me to say, look what I got, 283 acres on a beautiful river with an ancient mansion. Look at all the stains, the stuff. It's so easy to do that. I remember as a teenager, I was not such a good child, and it was all about me. Look what I got. Look what I can do. Look at the things that I own. In our lives, it's never about us. It's always about God. Ezekiel sees the glory here of God returning to the temple. So let's add some application to this. I have three short points. My first point, we are to glorify God in our bodies. We are to glorify God in our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when we glorify God in our bodies, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 says this, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body is a temple, and it is bought with a price. We are to glorify God in our bodies. We are to glorify God in the things that we do each and every day. Over in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always so, now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. We are to glorify God in our bodies. Our body is a temple, bought with a price. We think back to that wonderful day that we put our faith and trust in our Lord and Savior. You remember the joy you had? I remember as a young 12-year-old boy when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I was sitting in a church service on a Wednesday night, and I remember the preacher preaching on hell, and I remember going the whole car ride back to my aunt's house thinking, I do not want to go to hell. I do not want to go to hell. The Holy Spirit convicted my heart that night. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I needed a Savior. And as a 12-year-old young man, I got down on my knees beside my bed there at my aunt's house, and I asked Christ to save me. I think of the joy that I had then. I believe that we could still have that joy today in the life that we live. Folks should see the joy of Christ in our lives each and every day. Number one, we are to glorify God in our bodies. Number two, magnify Him in all we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31, for whatever you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We are to magnify Him in all that we do. Can you just think for a moment your life beginning tomorrow morning? Monday morning, you come to church this morning, maybe you have church this afternoon, you get back to life tonight when you get home. How many of you snack after Sunday night? No hands? Come on, really? Some of us are good, we run to the refrigerator, we try to find a cantaloupe. Some of us not so good, we run to the Oreo counter. Let's be honest with ourselves. We leave church Sunday night. Some of us may be dedicated and faithful to maybe do a family devotion with our children or with our spouse. And then we run to the Oreo counter. And then we come back, and if you have the bad habit such as I'll do my devotion with my family, and I do get my Oreos. And then I go back to my bed, and I think, there's got to be something on Facebook I haven't seen today. And you put yourself to sleep looking at social media. And we get up Monday morning. Many of you have jobs. Maybe some of you are retired. Either way, you get up Monday mornings, and you begin, as we saw in Colossians 3, putting on something. You can add many applications to that. You put on deodorant. You put on clothing. You put on coffee. You put on all these things. But folks, I want to encourage you. And maybe you can start tomorrow. Put on those things. Please put on the deodorant. Put on the clothes for your family's sake. Put on the coffee. But put on the Word of God. Start your day putting on the Word of God. We want to talk about and show application of glorifying God. God has given us His Word. We have a life lesson book right here for each and every one of us. We need to put it on. We need to apply it to our lives. And we can thank the Lord for the many blessings that He gives us. Thank the Lord for the clothes you have. Thank the Lord for the deodorant and toothpaste that you put on in the morning. Don't wake up Monday mornings forgetting everything you just heard Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Apply it to our lives. Magnify Him in all that you do. Christ shall be magnified in our bodies. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You understand? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Folks want to see Christ in our lives. Folks need to see Christ in our lives. Many people, and you've probably heard this time and time again, but I'm going to restate it because I like this statement. There's probably people in our lives, maybe coworkers, maybe friends, maybe some of you are in the school system. The only Bible they will see is your life. What is your testimony? What is my testimony? I'm guilty of the same thing. I many of you know, I've said the story in Sunday school. I moved from Spotsylvania. I worked in Northern Virginia, and now I live in Surrey County. Traffic, completely different world. Driving from Fredericksburg, Virginia to Northern Virginia, it is a survival.
Amen.
It is survival. You get in the vehicle, you merge over, you put the pedal to the bottom of the vehicle, and you hold on until you see your exit. In Surrey County, everybody drives lawnmowers and tractors where they go. I have almost killed two people moving to Surrey County. My testimony may be the only testimony of Christ these folks see. And so I have to remind myself, I have to be careful. I can't cut lawnmowers off blowing horns and screaming. We have to be careful with the little things. We want to magnify God in all that we do. But sometimes we have to remind ourselves everything that we do, so that we can put God first in our lives. We can make Christ preeminent in our lives. And we can magnify and glorify God. Number one, we are to glorify God in our bodies. This living temple we are to take care of. This was bought with a price. That bloodshed of Jesus Christ allows us salvation in heaven. It was bought with a price. We are to glorify God in our bodies. Number two, we are to magnify Him in all that we do. What is your testimony that folks see? How are you living your lives? How are you living your lives at home? I know I've been challenged by our home pastor mentions this quite often. If I were to ask your kids how home life is, what would the answer be? And I always think, oh boy, don't ask my son. Because I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. I do make mistakes. But that's true. What is our life like outside of church and worship? Number one, glorify God in your bodies. Number two, magnify Him in all that we do. And number three, our good works are to glorify God. Jump over with me to Matthew chapter 5. Our good works are to glorify God. Matthew here, chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Very familiar verses. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. Do your works glorify God? You see, we have works because we're saved. Our works should glorify God. The things that we do. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we should be doing something. James 1 and 20, chapter 1, verses 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. This verse in James chapter 1, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, made an impact on my life in 2015. I knew that God was calling me to do something, and I kept saying, no, Lord, I don't think I'm the right guy. I don't think this is the right time, not the right place. And I'm sure if we took a moment to show them a raise of hands, there's probably many of us that have gone through that and maybe gone through it now, saying, Lord, not me, Don't call me. God's word plainly tells us that we are to be doers of the word. Our good works are to glorify God. Many of us have an opportunity to witness to many people throughout the day. Every person we pass could be a potential opportunity to lead another soul to Christ. How many folks do you pass by in a day? Have you stopped for just a moment and thought about a normal day? We talked about the Sunday night and the Oreo snack. Now you're on Monday morning. We're putting all these things on. We're spending time in God's Word. We're getting ready. We're ready to hit the world. We get in our vehicle and we go to our job. Many of you can probably think of at least one person right now that you would say they need to hear the gospel of Christ. We have many folks in our family that we could say need to hear the word of God. If there's one thing God has called each of us to do as believers, that is to teach and preach the word of God. And God wants to use each and every one of us. Every place we go, every person we see, share the good news of the gospel. The Spirit of God will not leave us as we are sealed, as Ephesians 1 teaches us. Folks, let's not grieve the Spirit in our daily walk. Not giving place to the devil. God's word reminds us, for by grace are you saved. Glorify God in your bodies. Magnify Him in all that we do. And then glorify God in our works. I've had the opportunity to sit and talk to many young people and adults, to counsel with them, just to share the wonderful good news of the gospel. To know for sure when this world ends where you'll be. That's a wonderful opportunity. That's a wonderful feeling inside. I've lost a couple pastor friends just in these past few weeks due to COVID. I'm thankful knowing I'll see them again. There's probably many people in our lives that if we don't take the opportunity to share God's word with them, we might be the only opportunity. Let's not waste the time. Let's not lose the opportunity. God wants to see each and every one come to know Him as Savior. And He's given us the greatest, wonderful opportunity to share that good news. We can do it through many avenues. For me, it's a camp ministry, an opportunity to preach. Maybe for you, it's different. Maybe for you, it's fishing. I love fishing. I live right on the river. I had a very nice gentleman buy me a Hobie fishing kayak. And I love paddling around the river. I'm like a kid. I do more paddling than I do fishing. But each opportunity that we have in life, we're using them to the fullest. Glorify God, for one day He will return. And for me in my life, I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to be able to say those words as Paul was able to say, "I have fought a good fight. I have done my work." Where are you at today? Can you say, "I'm glorifying God in all that I do"? Where are you? Can you say, "I'm fighting a good fight"? Now, I know God doesn't call each and every person to full-time Christian service. That's not what I'm trying to push today. But God has called each and every one of us to share the gospel of Christ. Amen. And we do have an obligation. We do have a duty. We have a job. But then our life must live a testimony that's pleasing to Christ. Are we glorifying God in all that we do? Where are you today? Do you have roadblocks in your life hindering you from glorifying God? Are there roadblocks? I was watching a little bit of the Olympics. I'm really not a big Olympic guy, but I do like to watch these guys run because it amazes me how fast they are. They definitely don't eat Oreos on Sunday night. But I watch these gentlemen run and jump these hurdles. And a couple failed. A couple got back up and went again. And some made it all the way through. And I'm watching this, and a sermon illustration is coming to my mind. What are the hurdles in my life that's hindering me, that's slowing me down, that's blocking my path from doing the will of God? Honoring and lifting up, glorifying God. Do you have roadblocks in your life hindering you from that this morning? I would fail myself if I didn't ask you, are you here this morning and you're not saved? That's the first decision to make. Are you saved this morning? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? The Bible teaches us that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank the Lord for that night, back in 1989, that I put my faith and trust in the Lord. And I ask you this morning, do you need to make some decisions? Do you need to just take a moment and ask God to show you what roadblocks are hindering? And maybe there's none. Maybe you're on the path. Maybe you're doing everything perfectly. God has given you wonderful opportunities. And you say, I try my best to glorify God in all that I do. And that's great. But are you here this morning? And you say, I have a couple things that might be hindering me. I have a couple things that might be creating roadblocks in my life that's not allowing me to do more and more for the Lord. It makes it hard to give God the glory because of the hindrances I have in my life. I come to you this morning thanking the Lord for the opportunities that He's given us. The opportunities that we have to be in the work of the Lord each and every day. But I'll share with you, it's still not easy. There's still hindrances and roadblocks that I meet, and I have to remind myself who our God is. We can't allow the things of this world to create distractions in our lives. They're like those hurdles standing up in the pathway in front of us. You see it off to a distance, it looks like a small problem. As you get closer, it gets bigger and bigger. Allow God to remove those hindrances, remove those hurdles. Glorify God in your bodies. Magnify Him in all that we do. Praise the Lord for our works. You know, it's been a tremendous blessing to be a part of the ministry each and every day. But God is going to use us whether we're in ministry full-time or not, if you allow Him to. Open your hearts this morning. Give God your all. Have Him show you areas of your lives that might be hindering you from doing what God would have you to do. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. Brother, I'll let you close. I'll pray, and you'll close the way you see fit. Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that You would just help us, show us, in our hearts today. May we do a time of invitation, and Lord, we can just get down and pray. Pray to You, Lord, that You would show us any areas of our lives that we need to give to You. Lord, help us to remove the hindrances. Help us to glorify You in all that we do, all that we say. And Lord, use us each and every opportunity we have to witness those around us. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the blessings. We thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for the love that you have for each one of us. Be with us this week as we begin our work weeks. Lord, help us, lead us, and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.